Hey, Nikki Booker here, and welcome to my podcast, Find Your Soul, Find Your Soulmate. If you are new, welcome. You're in luck. This week is a little bit different than what I normally do. I recorded a conversation that I had with my husband this week, and don't worry, he knows, but we talk about relationships and dating and a lot of the things that I already discussed, but you get to hear it from a man's point of view, a good man's point of view. So I hope you enjoy it. And welcome back. If you aren't new, thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, Ralph Booker.
What's your first question?
Okay, my first question is, what are your feelings about a woman who dates more than one man at a time? Obviously, back in your single days, go back to that
How many men?
But only for these questions. Then you have to come back to being married.
Okay. I have to return to marriage.
Yeah.
How many men?
I don't know. Like three.
Yeah. I think I might have a unique perspective on this. So maybe I'll give you my answer and then I'll give you the answer that maybe most men, I think most men are insecure, and it's going to either raise their game and you're going to know that that person's really good. It's gonna raise the game of the person, mm-hmm. or the man's gonna be mad and jealous, and then you're gonna know that. And if you're not gonna know that a man gets jealous unless you give him a chance to be jealous,
right?
And it just kind of gets that can be one of the worst parts of a relationship.
It can also show you how he handles jealousy, and if he's mature person.
Well, you dated more than one when we met. You were dating other people. I mean, I didn't care. I said to you, I think I remember saying to you, I'm not the boss of you. Like what? So my theory on it is I'm supposed to, if I have chosen you as the one I like the most, then it's my job to earn my status as your number one. Like that's my job. It's not your job to pick me as number one and then otherwise I feel offended. And if somebody else, If you're seeing other people, that's a message to me that you're not easy. You're not just going to accept me for being great just because I think I'm great. That you're being honest that you don't really know me, and I've got to open up to you. So there's all these things that happen. I've got to open up to you. I've got to let you know who I am, and then I have to be the best. Like, I have to be the best.
Right, because we don't owe each other anything. We just met. We've just started dating each other. That's it. We're just trying to get to know
I think some men get bothered, though, because there's, like, an instinctual, biological need to be the alpha male, even if the man's not an alpha male, even if he's not really. Mm. He biologically gets mad and sad that he wasn't picked as the alpha male. And so he almost doesn't have control over that.
Well, women want the alpha male, whether they want to admit it or not. So the true alpha male, he wants to win.
I think it weeds out the, so let's say there's a woman that, so this has happened to me before. The women that I dated that were confident were always seeing other people until they met me. No, I'm just kidding. They were always seeing other people. And the women that lacked confidence were always choosing immediately to be latched on. And it's you would think a lot of men would take it as a compliment, but I found it to be incredibly unattractive.
No, I think most men do see that as unattractive. It makes you look needy. You look like you're coming from a place of low value. If you immediately latch onto somebody and you hardly even know them, then that just, to me, that looks like you'll just date anybody. Like you just want someone.
Yeah, that's not the reason though. I mean, that is true. That's really true. But the reason is, for me anyway, was that I just needed an enormous amount of personal space. I can't be.
Yeah. I think you and I are the same in that regard. Yeah,
I can't. And I think a lot of people don't know that that's what they're feeling, but they feel crowded out. It's hard enough to share your life with somebody else, let alone feel like the other person is now depending on you for all of their happiness, all of their activities, all of their free time. Right. That's too much pressure.
Yeah, nobody wants that kind of pressure.
So I guess in short, I don't really care. Maybe this is controversial, but so you say dating other people. Let's mm-hmm. say that the best woman is having sex with
multiple other people. Yeah, no.
Care. I don't care about that either. Like, if I can't be the best at having sex, then I mean,
she's going to probably pick one she likes the most.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. But
that doesn't bother me.
She has options.
Like, to me, once again, if I haven't committed to a relationship that leads to marriage, what expectation do I really have that's reasonable for her to not explore her options in whatever way is best for her? Because I'm not the boss of that person.
Well, and that was my next question, is what do you think about the idea of only being exclusive when you have plans for marriage and that's it?
Exclusivity for me once again, I don't know if this is reasonable, but exclusivity for me was different maybe than it is for other men. I hated being, it wasn't a problem with commitment. It was the thing that once you're inside the bubble with me, I'm super protective. I'm 100% loyal. Mm-hmm. I'm a real giver, and I felt like at times women could figure that out.
Right.
And so, I had experience. I had situations.
So they latched on.
Yeah. I had situations where it's like, I would get to know somebody and I thought I knew them a little bit, and then we'd get a little bit closer, and then they'd be like, oh, my car broke down. But I'd be like, okay, I know.
So that's a red sign. That's like a red flag for you, or that should have been at the beginning. Somebody's, immediately asking you for things when in a relationship.
Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious that I'm not great at everything, but the one area that I was good at is providing. And I think that that was an attractive quality. Mm-hmm. And because I knew that was one of my the best qualities I have, is that I'm good at that, or I'd like to do that, or whatever.
You like to take care of people.
That I can't let very many people in. And because of that, I can't let that
many people in. And to take care of people, the people you care about the most, you can't take care of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't like to be exclusive. So
that wasn't a problem for you.
So it wasn't
until
a problem
because, were ready.
Because for me, being exclusive was the same thing as me wanting to marry that person.
Okay.
But I got myself into plenty of problems.
So that's the thing, though, is like what you just said. So I feel like women's mindsets versus men's mindset. When they first start dating someone with a woman, they're already behaving. A lot of women are already behaving as though they're exclusive. They already have – a lot of women will stop looking. They'll stop dating other men once they've found this one that they want to put all of their effort into. Mm-hmm. And so – but that men don't really do that. I feel like with men, unless they see you as a potential wife, like they want to marry you, they are still leaving their options open. They're still open to the possibility of meeting someone else.
I feel like not every time, but this is stereotypical, but a lot of times when I dated people that a woman was already sizing me up for marriage from a very early point, even if it wasn't something that we talked about. Mm-hmm. She was very early on, even if there was no right for her to think that way, she was going to think like I was going to be someone that she could potentially, she was trying to figure out if I was marriage material way earlier than I was trying to figure out if she was.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was really true.
Well, I think that's typical.
But I wonder sometimes if that was just me saying, I don't believe in marriage anymore. And
well, we were both at that point. Mm-hmm. I think you were a little further along than me because I still believed in marriage for some people. I just thought that maybe it wasn't for me.
I really
was questioning whether it was something that maybe I'm just not cut out for it. Maybe that's not what it's going to be for me.
Yeah.
And then you were almost like, I don't even know if I believe in it. And we had a conversation about it one night.
I think also I've been exclusive with some people. God bless them forever. And I hope they're all happy and whatever, but that turned out to be really bad experiences for me. Mm-hmm. And
me too.
And I began to wonder if it was unreasonable, but in the back of my mind, without even consciously thinking it out loud, I think some men are non-committal, not because they're not the type of person that can commit, but because they've had some experiences where they got used, or like some giant terrible secret came out, or like a good man will attract all kinds of emotionally disturbed women.
Well, it's the same for a good woman too. I mean,
And after a while,
we attract the crazies sometimes.
Yeah. And after a while, that man might just say, I'm not ever, I don't
like
believe.
I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that sometimes you, like, I don't believe in marriage. That can either mean I'm a complete jerk, but a lot of the time, if it's a good guy, it just means that that person has had some experiences that.
But I think that's what happens, is you get to a point where you are just finished, and it takes somebody really standing out to you, someone really special, for you to even consider that again. And I think that's where you want, you should be getting to that point.
I think you should be at that point, even if you haven't been dating a lot of people, and if you feel like you don't look your best and you feel like you aren't at your best, you should always approach it with that attitude. It's more important to approach relationships with that attitude than it is almost like anything else.
I think for women, we just are programmed since birth to get married and have babies. So it's like, find that husband, got to find that husband, got to get married, got to have children. You know, the biological clock, everybody has different ways that they can explain why we feel that way. So,
yeah.
But
going back to being exclusive, there is a point at which, like, a man's going to, like, if he feels like he's done. Okay. So let's say that it was pretty early on in our relationship that I thought I was doing my best to prove to you that I was your best choice. And
if it hadn't, job.
And if it hadn't been obvious to me that you agreed with me about that, I would have said to you, I don't think I can keep doing this unless I know that you love me and that we're thinking about marriage. And I would have gotten to the point. And I think a lot of times you get to that place naturally and you don't have to have a conversation about it, but you have to bring it up when,
there
is a point at which you seeing other people would have disturbed me. And I would have said, okay, I want to be your number one now. But here's the problem. I think a lot of guys expect that before they've done the work to prove it.
Yes.
And a lot of guys can't handle it. And so it has to be, I think, and this is something I did with you consciously, and I thought about it a lot, was that, I've got to let you lead. Like, if we're dancing, I got to lead. But if we're relationshiping, you have to lead. I have to follow your lead. That I have to be in tune with where you're at. And I have to listen really closely to that. And I can't bring up the subject of exclusivity before I know that you're ready. It's kind of like the old question, don't ever ask a woman to marry you unless you already know the answer to the question. And if you don't know that she's chosen you as your number one, you shouldn't park the car or walk her to the door or sit on the couch late at night and say, I don't want you to see other people anymore. Like, if you don't already know, then you shouldn't bring it up.
So how do you know? So what does a woman do to show you that she wants that without coming across as asking for it or looking too needy? Because I think that's where women struggle. We're like, we want to make sure he knows how I feel about him. But if we come on too strong, then we can come across as like low value or looking needy. And then it's like, oh, now we've put pressure on him and he starts to retreat. And it's like, oh, crap.
So you'll know this about me from our experience. I think you should, as long as you think you should wait to make a move, whatever the move is, it's twice as long as what you think it is.
Okay.
That's what I think the rule is, that so many people that I know, like, know somebody for a day and they're just, that's my soulmate.
Yeah.
And I know, and I've been through that too, where I got really super caught up in one aspect of some person.
Right.
And I went too far too fast. And so my answer to that question is, what I would imagine each person saying is, I don't want to see anybody else anymore. Don't put it on the other person. Say it about yourself. Say, I think I want to just see you now. You may not be ready for that, but I'm telling you.
Well, and we kind of did have that conversation when I was visiting you in Arizona. And so we were separated by distance. And
I started having really strong feelings for you. And so I did finally one night, I just said to you, listen, I got to know if this is going anywhere. And not because I'm not
trying
to.
Did you not know what I was going to say?
It's like I knew, but I didn't know for sure. See, I mean, I didn't know that you were going to move to Texas and completely uproot the kids. I mean, I didn't know if you could. I didn't know if you would. I believe that you wanted to be with me, okay, but how far were you willing?
So you knew I wanted to be with you.
I did.
So you did before.
But I did have to say at one point, listen, I'm feeling some strong feelings here and I need to know if this is something that's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And if not, then I'm going to have to pull back a little bit. And not because I'm mad at you or I'm giving you an ultimatum. I have to be thinking of my future and my feelings and I need to protect myself so I don't get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll already be upset and hurt if the answer is no, but at least if you can be honest with me and tell me then. So we did have that conversation.
What I like about what you said though, is that you knew I wanted to be with you
mm-hmm.
and you didn't bring this topic up until you knew I wanted to be with you, but you didn't know how
timing.
Practical it was.
Right.
And so however long you think you should wait, it's longer. And I waited a long time. I waited a long time to kiss you. I waited a long time, like in the grand.
I love that story.
Yeah. So I think that I was following your lead and mm-hmm. I'm speaking of this from the guy's perspective mm-hmm. that it's really hard to go out with someone that you really like and you don't know what they're thinking. That's really difficult. And we didn't have that problem. I knew what you were thinking.
How did you know what I was thinking?
I believe that we were naturally good at communicating with each other.
I feel like I told you, like, I feel like we're both very good at telling each other what we need.
And I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm attracted to that hotness and I got to have some of that. And so they don't think about the communication. And then they've done something physical so soon
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the communication to back up. And so then that's when you get into crazy thinking is I just gave up this huge part of myself. And now I have no idea what this other person is thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's why I communicate.
Then your behavior gets a little.
It sounds so
questionable.
It sounds like such a repeated phrase that it doesn't mean anything anymore about how important communication is. But I like a primary main reason that I didn't like to see people more than once is I didn't want to have to explain what I was thinking all the time, or I didn't want to have to repeat what I said 5 million times or reassure somebody 100 million times. Or
I think that's because most people don't get you. Not you. I mean, in general, like people think they're meeting someone, they're dating them. Oh, this is the person. It's like, no, you got it. There's so many people out there. You're most likely the first person you date, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. They're not going to get you. You're not going to have a deep connection with them.
Don't you feel like also though, that one of the reasons more people don't get us is that we're not really ourselves when we first meet people. We're
oh yeah. Everybody puts on. Yeah.
And definitely. I remember, I think you knew this about me. I didn't have a lot of that. Like I was just like, whatever. I was very much myself. I was pretty much the same person around you and then not around you. And then,
oh yeah. What you see is what you get.
And
for
I think
sure.
once you do that, you start attracting genuine people.
Right. You have to be yourself.
You've met people.
You can't be afraid
to
say what's on your mind, as long as you're not being hurtful. I mean,
well, it comes down to things just as easy as preferences. Like you like to listen to a certain kind of music or watch certain movies and, or eat certain food or wake up at a certain time of day. And do we communicate well about that? If there's differences, there's going to be differences. Do we communicate well about that? And we did.
And we did from the beginning, I think. And a lot of the, like you're saying at the beginning,
at the very start.
You don't really talk about.
That's why they say be friends with people first, is because you're not worried about. I say this to guys all the time. If you're having trouble meeting somebody, what you should do is you should hang out with people as friends. You should mm-hmm. literally treat the best woman that you see, the highest value woman, treat her like a friend. And what will happen is you'll really get to know her and she'll really get to know you. And that's more attractive than you pretending to drive a certain kind of car or have a certain amount of stuff,
yeah.
which that's going to help. Like
that doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah. But it, you know, that stuff wears off.
Well, so that's what we were friends.
I think you, and I think that has everything to do with.
And it just naturally progressed. And I think
I'm a goofball, and I wasn't afraid to show you that I was. I wasn't afraid to say things that were embarrassing to other people or.
Well, that was one of my favorite things about you. I'm like, this guy doesn't give a crap what people think. He says what he wants and he does what he wants. And that's something that I feel like I've always done to an extent. So it was nice to meet somebody else who did that. And I think so.
You can have lots of different combinations of people, like shy people or outgoing people or extroverted people or whatever. But we've all seen it a million times. Like you go on a first date and you make yourself look as great as you can. Whereas if you were just like next door neighbors to someone and they saw you all the time in your sweatpants, they would know you better. And that's why people that know each other well and are friends and that accept each other on like the basest no makeup level. That's why I think they last longer. And that's why I didn't believe in marriage, is because I didn't think there was anybody.
Well, there's no pressure up front to like be this person. It's like, oh, well, we're just friends. And so you just talk and you're naturally more yourself. So you naturally get to know each other instead of like putting this kind of mask on at the beginning.
Right.
Which most people do.
Yep.
It's like you show up to the date and you're like, I have to impress this person. Mm-hmm. I have to show up and look good. And it's just a different, you enter it into.
Isn't it weird too that doesn't really work? Like can't every person just see through that? I hated that. I hated it. I hate that. Like if you can tell that somebody is just, I want after we know each other for you to try your hardest to look great when we go out. But before, like to try to be someone and you never did that. You never tried to be somebody you weren't. You never tried to get me by being someone other than who you really are.
Okay, so I never tried to get you. So you pursued
by being someone fake.
Well, but I like that we're kind of talking about. I like to talk about how men pursue.
Yeah.
And women don't. And a lot of women now are pursuing men. Mm-hmm. They're calling them.
Yeah.
They're asking them out.
Yeah.
They're texting them.
Right. But the good part of that is. There's a good side of that. If once you've shown who you really are to somebody and once you're kind of hanging out and you're friends, if the woman is like sitting around waiting for the man to chase her and she's not when you want to go out with your friends, you just say, I want to hang out with you. Do you want to go to a movie? Mm-hmm. You don't say, well, my friend has to chase me. And I think that that's what I'm talking about is, the man has to do the chasing when it comes to the romantic stuff and the formal dates and
they have to lead in that regard.
You have to lead, but there can be a misinterpretation of what that means. Like the woman shouldn't ever contribute. Like it's got to be response and feedback. It's got to be
right. And so I think that how women show that is through just appreciating it, smiling, saying thank you.
But also
encouraging.
Like if you're a high value woman, if you have confidence and you take care of yourself, meaning doesn't matter how much you weigh, it doesn't matter if you don't have nice clothes or what you think you don't have. It matters if you hold yourself up well and you smell nice. Like let's just say
you always say.
So let's say
please
you
take a shower.
Yeah, let's say you don't stink and you are yourself. You're going to meet somebody great. And when you're going to meet somebody that's a match, but and in that case, that man wants to hear you say, hey, do you want to go see this movie? Like you want to have somebody in your life.
But if he's not doing that and you're constantly, I mean, think back to when you were single and there are women who you clearly were not expressing an interest in them, but they would still text you or they would still email you or they.
And I'm like, can you please just. Yeah, not.
So what were some of those behaviors? Because believe it or not, women can be completely clueless as far as, like, it may be obvious to you because you're a guy, but just what are some of the things that they did that was pursuing you, basically?
Well,
you weren't interested in them. Let's put it that way. Because I think a lot of women mistake not – if you're not hearing from the guy,
that's it. That's what it is.
Right.
Right. That's what it is.
But then they start to come up with all these rationalizations. And so now because it's acceptable for women to call men and text men. It's like, yeah, you can do that. I'm not saying not to do that, but
I liked it though. So for example,
you can't chase a guy,
but let's say that
he's not interested in you. You're not going to convince him all of a sudden to be interested in you.
Okay. But you could do this. Let's say that I met somebody and maybe they came on like as a woman, they came on a little bit too strong or something like that.
Yeah.
But let's say like 4 days go by and I don't even think about calling or texting that person because we're not exclusive and because we're not in a relationship and there shouldn't be any expectation of that. Mm-hmm. And I also have an unreasonable desire to be alone. Let's say all those things are true. And she texts me and she says, hey, do you want to go to the farmer's market or do you want to go see this movie I've been wanting to see? I actually take that as I actually like that. It's like, oh, let's give it. I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. It's if it more than once, you know.
So say she does that and you go.
Yeah.
And then
because if
you
we're
either
trying to be
friends, you have a good time.
Because we're trying to be friends at first. So if she's
okay,
like.
Okay. So you either have a good time or you don't. So what happens if you have a good time?
Then I'm going to, then as a smart guy, mm-hmm. is going to stay in touch with that person and want to do stuff again.
And probably ask her out.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
What do you do if you don't? Really, you're not feeling it or you don't.
You should have, you. Even the woman who doesn't. So. I have gone out. I said this once and it got interpreted the wrong way. I remember I was having dinner with my two friends who were women and it got interpreted the wrong way.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
But even someone who is viewed in our world as not TV attractive, which almost no one thinks they are,
mm-hmm.
but some people, it really affects their self-esteem.
Oh,
so let's
yeah.
say you're listening to this and you don't, you wouldn't put yourself in the category of being objectively attractive and you have to work really hard in quotation marks to get a good picture of yourself for social media, whatever it is. And you don't have a lot of confidence. Even that person can be and should be dating like two or three people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't, you have to be in prison. You could still date people in prison. So it's not even like, you have to be so.
I don't recommend that.
You have to be, but there. I had a friend one time that says, well, there are no women. I'm like, right now, tonight, you could have sex with somebody if you would mm-hmm. just expand the group of people, which you don't
right.
want to do necessarily. But if you'd stop and think about it for a minute, there are lots of people out there. So let's say that someone isn't writing you back. You should have two or three other people that you're spending time with, even as just friends.
Well, people put way too much emphasis on looks, and that's why I always say just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. And there are so many.
Cause I would go out on dates with what you're calling like.
Yeah.
TV. What did you call it?
TV. Beautiful.
And I couldn't be more repulsed. I mean, they had nothing going on upstairs. They had no original thoughts.
Yeah.
They were even rude or just dumb or whatever. And I was like, so disgusted.
And there are people who were the quarterback of the football team and they're now like 6'4" and totally built or sweetest, you know, flight attendant model people. There are people out there like that and they're nice and smart and great. There's good and great and good for them. And you know what? They're all, each of them, all of them are having the same.
Everybody has the same.
They're all having the same. Yeah. They're all having the same problems.
They're all having the same.
They're
problems.
All having a version of the same problem that when they come across the right person, they can't stop thinking about that person. They wonder if they're texting that person too much. Like even at those levels, they have those same.
Well, they say, I forget what it was. What model said? Like she's like, what do you mean? I look in the mirror every day and I think, I don't remember who it was. She's like, I still ridicule my body and think about all the things that I need to fix. And she was like a supermodel.
I think that's why guys don't understand that. And I think the same is true for women. I think some women don't understand that the best guy that they would like to spend time with is probably open to spending time with them as long as they approach it from a place of confidence, a place mm-hmm. of positivity and optimism and happiness and not weirdo clinginess. And if you're super nervous all the time, it's like if you get sweaty palms and you're super nervous around someone and like that's just, that's, that's probably like you have to learn to be confident in who you are.
Well, and the best way I think to get over that is just expose yourself, not expose yourself, but go on a lot of dates.
Yeah, go on a lot of dates. Right.
And just keep putting yourself in that uncomfortable position. And you do get to a point where you get better at it.
Yeah. But
don't expose yourself.
20 years into a relationship, people don't understand that the stakes are still high. Like, and maybe even higher than they were before. That people get lazy after 20 years of a relationship and they put less effort in. But then at the beginning of relationships, when you don't even know the other person, people put way too much emphasis on it. Like they try way too hard with someone they've never met and they don't try hard enough with someone they've been with for a long time and they get it all reversed. And if you think about it, there's tons of no risk interactions with people when you're just dating. Hey, you want to go out is like the zero risk transaction.
People put so much pressure on themselves though.
Right. And then they get into a relationship and then 4 years later, they're with that person who they were so nervous about. And they're like, would you pick your garbage up off the floor?
They just lose it.
So that's what I'm saying is if you just,
who are you?
And I remember, I don't know when it was, but I got really hurt and I got really hurt. And then something just snapped inside of me where I was like, I thought too highly of just one person. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to go hang out with lots of people. And the minute I start thinking, oh, this person is so special, I'm going to stop myself from going down that road because then that person becomes too important. That person becomes the source of my happiness. Mm-hmm. That person, when I met you, it was the first time that I can remember meeting somebody who was confident, happy, and didn't need me and didn't want anything from me and was super interesting. And I thought, there was no risk. I could just say, hey, let's go hang out. Let's go do something together. And I wasn't putting all my hopes and dreams into you saying yes. Mm-hmm. But then 2 months in, I told Shelby, who was my assistant, I said, I'm going to lose my mind if this doesn't work out. That's when you should be losing your mind if it doesn't work out. If you've gone on dates, if you've been with each other, that's when all the butterflies should really be there. At the beginning, oh my gosh, like that person is probably disgusting or gross or who knows what kind of sanitary habits they have.
Secrets are sanitary habits.
I'm just saying that I met a lot of people that looked great on, and then they were just disgusting.
Then you go to their
people.
House and it's
they
like
were just disgusting
just
people.
Gross.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about anybody, but I just mean that it's not what you think it is. It's never what you think it is. No matter, even with us, it's not what you think it is.
A lot of times we just come up with our own little story in our head of what the other person is based on two things, what we want.
Yeah.
And two, some things we're picking up on, you know, on that first date that might, like you said, probably aren't even true or might not even be true.
Yeah. I mean, in my worst times when I was acting the dumbest was when I was lonely. And that's stupid because no one should ever be lonely. There are so many people out there that share your same interests.
But we all go through a time of loneliness.
But I think I didn't realize that it was a choice. Unless you live in Montana, 100 miles from anybody. You really, there's groups that meet up, there's things to do. Mm-hmm. And if you just say hi, I used to do this when I lost all sense of who cared about what anybody thought. I just started going to eat breakfast at the same place every day. Mm-hmm. And I got a huge circle of friends and I would just go eat there for 3, 4, 5 weeks until somebody said, hey, you come in here a bunch and be like, oh, hey, what's going on? I would just let it. People don't realize how much work you have to put in. You don't just get to say, I really wish I was with somebody. And then
it doesn't work.
You have to go through a lot of people.
You have to go through a lot of growing pains too. You have to learn how to, like you said, how to be alone. And then you have to learn how to be happy while you're alone.
Yeah.
And just because you're alone doesn't mean unhappiness, which I think sometimes people think.
Some people are happier around other people. That's normal. Mm-hmm. So get around people. Like there's lots of, if you look around, there's lots of people around.
I know. And then I thought I better meet someone quick because I'm really liking this alone thing a lot.
Yeah. I love
being
alone.
I'm going to get stuck in a bubble by myself.
I loved it. I loved being alone. I loved it.
I did too.
It was the greatest ever. It was, I thought it was going to be the worst and it was the best.
But I didn't always like it. It's like what you said. Yeah. I finally got to a point in my life where I was happier alone.
Yeah. I was going to crawl out of my skin.
After and then that's when I met you. Yeah. So, I mean, and they say, you know, it happens when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. I think that's so true.
Right.
It was for me.
I didn't expect it.
I didn't at all.
Yeah. If you're trying to, you can make a relationship happen anytime you want. Mm-hmm. You can actually go online and pick a bunch of people and click yes on a bunch of people.
Like, no.
And there's always people that will go out. That's never the problem. It doesn't matter who you are. There's always tons of people. Go to church, you go out to eat, you go online. There are tons of people that will hang out.
You just have to make a point to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Or get online, yeah, or both.
I think so. You can get into a relationship by brute force by just dating a ton of people.
Brute force.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I did. Not to get into a relationship, but to kind of build my roster, I talk about. It was like, I got to get a life. I got to get some dates. I got to practice this dating thing. I was online. I did that dating agency. And I just practiced dating. And I just practiced meeting new people. And I was like, I got to figure out what I want. I don't know what I want anymore.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm not attracting the kind of person that I want to attract. So that was my self-reflection time. Like, okay, what are the things that I need to work on to better myself so that I do attract the kind of people, you know, the kind of person that I want to be with? And it's just, it's hard. You have to be working on yourself and at the same time be working to meet people.
Right.
And then I think at some point you just finally get that sense of self, and then, you know, and then also you just get tired of being in dead end relationships. Like, you just get to the point where you're like, what's the point? You know, what is the point of this? The whole point of being in a relationship is to be happy. Mm. And if you're, you know, or happier.
Yeah.
What's the point? Like, other than that,
I just knew you were the, I knew you were the most interesting, best person I'd ever met. And I realized that I needed to just learn how to be in a relationship. I wasn't going to be in a relationship with any, but I met you and then I was like, okay, I'm going to be in a relationship now. Like, I'm not going to lose this person. Like, this is going to come along. So it's kind of strange. It's like, I didn't think I was ready for a relationship and I wasn't looking for one. And I certainly wasn't the kind of guy that would get back to someone. I ghosted people all the time. I was like, I'm not interested. And it's not, haven't seen each other enough for me to even care if I get back to you about that. And mm-hmm. it's not my, like, you should be seeing a bunch of people. And I can't mm-hmm. imagine that you would care that I don't text you, because I don't care if you text me. And then I met you and I was like, oh, that's worth working for. That's definitely worth me saying, all right, how would I share my life with somebody?
Well, but you definitely kept in touch with me.
And yeah, but you were like, yeah, because you were amazing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks for chatting with me.
You're very welcome.
So.
Hi, all of Nikki's listeners.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun. It's the first time I've had a guest on my podcast. So a little learning curve for me, but thanks again for listening. I'm Nikki Booker. You can find me at nikkibooker.com if you're interested in, you know, hearing more from me, finding out more about who I am and why I feel like anybody should listen to anything that I have to say. But again, thanks so much for listening and take care.